This is the Pat Williams Weekend Hour on FM 96.5 News Talk WDBO. Now here's your host, Pat Williams.
Peter Clark, our guest in that first half hour, author of Mr. Churchill's Profession, an interesting look at Winston Churchill, the author. We're now going to talk about running the gauntlet, essential business lessons to lead, drive change, and grow profits. And my guest is Jeffrey Hazlett, who has written this book with McGraw-Hill. Jeffrey, real good to chat with you. How you doing?
Hey, Pat, it's a pleasure to be on the show. And what a great follow-up to Churchill. I mean, to talk about running the gauntlet. We're going to do that for business every single day. So it's like going to war.
Yeah, you're teamed up here with Winston Churchill, Jeffrey. That's the bottom line for this interview.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome.
What motivated you to write Running the Gauntlet? Why is it important?
Well, you know, I've been a business owner, and I've bought and sold over 250 businesses in my career, well over $25 billion in transaction. And I just had stepped down as the chief marketing officer a couple of years ago, and I decided I wanted to go out and talk about driving change because, you know, here you saw one of the most iconic companies in the world fall and falter because they failed to adapt. And that's the whole message behind the book is, you know, adapt, change, or die. And that's what businesses are facing every single day. It's not like it used to be. You got to be different. You're going to have to do some things differently or do some things very well in order to move that needle. And that's what running the gauntlet's all about, driving change in your business, even when things are going perfect.
You've got 34 lessons for us here, Jeffrey, and I doubt we're going to get them all, but let's get started. Topic number one, repeat after me. No one is going to die from the changes you make in business. Say it. No one is going to die.
It's, you know, that's a kind of a recurring theme, and it's probably one of the, in all the speeches that I do, it's the one line that people retweet that they come back to me about and that they say they use again and again as a mantra in the business. Now, obviously, if you're doing, you know, surgery or operating heavy equipment, yeah, you could die. But by and large, you know, I'm a marketer, and if I'm running a marketing organization of, you know, 2,500 people or two people, and we make a mistake, you know, the most that's probably going to happen to us is a paper cut. You know, no one's going to die. And that's really what this is about. We fret about a lot of these decisions in our business every single day, and so much so that we get, you know, in action by this paralysis of trying to do it exactly right and perfect. And my point is, hey, look, we're living in an internet world today. Make a mistake. Go ahead. No one's going to die. You know, and change. Move it. Change it. Adapt it. Do it a little differently. And I think most customers, most people that you deal with are okay with that. And that's, again, a big core tenet to the book, Running the Gauntlet.
Second topic. Change begins by changing the questions. Who would want a horseless carriage? Wrong question. The right run. Why wouldn't everyone want one?
Exactly. I mean, think about it. In the turn of the century, had you gone around and asked customers, hey, do you want a horseless carriage? You want a car? And they'd say, what? No, I want a faster horse. I'd want more horses, a bigger horse, or a horse that didn't eat as much, you know? That's what they were used to. That's what they would want. So the focus then has to be around, you know, in terms of asking the right kinds of questions or leading people where you want them to go.
Third topic, fear stops most people. Change agents welcome it, get past your fear, act with confidence, and be willing to be a beginner.
Well, that's a big one. You know, you don't become a maestro by playing perfect notes. You become a maestro by making lots of mistakes. And that's what we want people to focus on, is making mistakes. Because the more mistakes you make, the more you can change and adapt. And so you've got to make a lot of bad notes. And so for a business owner, you just need to realize you're not going to do things perfectly. Or as a leader in the business, you're not going to do things perfectly. So what you want to do is go out there and be willing to make those mistakes, as we said before. If you do make one, no one's going to die. But then be able to focus on what things you need to go and do, and how do you put them together in, say, a symphony or into an arrangement so that you start stepping and repeating and doing those things over and over.
Fourth topic. As Churchill said, there is nothing wrong with change if it's in the right direction. Know your conditions of satisfaction.
I think it's great to follow up. I mean, it's amazing that we make that reference and then earlier in your session have that same topic. But imagine how many times he had to address different problems or different fronts that he had to face in terms of the war. And that's what we're saying here. And he knew that sometimes you lost a battle or two, but you were going to win the war. And that's a big part of what we have to do in business is know that, you know, what's the key thing you're trying to do? And he had the end in sight, which was to win that war. And that's a real critical point to be able to think as a business owner. You know, so sometimes you're going to have to make some decisions that you're not going to be happy with or that aren't just perfect. But yet it's getting you where you want to go. And that's what you want to do. And that's what that customer satisfaction is all about, or mutual conditions of satisfaction is what I talk about in the book, about how do you get the performer and the customer aligned around what is the mutual conditions of satisfaction.
Fifth topic. Principles mean something only when they're inconvenient. Prepare to live your brand promise in bad times and good.
Well, think about this, Pat. I mean, no pain, no gain. That's a saying we've heard in sports for a long, long time. So where's the tension in business of being able to push it, to make it uncomfortable? Because if it's not uncomfortable, then we're not growing enough in terms of our business in the way in which we want to drive that change to reach the pinnacle of what we want. And so in Running the Gauntlet, I talk a lot about how do we create tension? How do we become the chief tension officer in the company and be able to drive things forward in a way that moves it off the mark? And that's a tough thing for a lot of business owners to be uncomfortable. And I think that's where we get those great breakthroughs is by being in a place we haven't been before. You know, I always tell people I don't know what I don't know. And so that means I'm in a constant state of awareness in terms of trying to understand that I might not have the answer right at hand, but it's around me somewhere. I just have to be more aware of it. So I have to stretch beyond the way in which I do it.
Topic number six. My guest is Jeffrey Haislett, and we're talking about Running the Gauntlet, his new book. Change the mood, change the culture, then move on to people and processes. Remember, you can't be cool and look like Elmer Fudd.
Well, you know, when I was at Kodak, that's what everybody would say to me. They'd say, Jeff, you know, I like it the way it used to be. Why can't we make it like it used to be? And I'd like to look like I used to when I was 20, but I don't look like that anymore. I actually look better. And that's what it's about, a mood set of saying where I'm going is going to be a lot better. How I'm going to change is always going to be better. Hey, I might be cool right now. I might look great and everything is super, but yet I've got to get to a different point. And so that's what you want to do. And you can't be cool and dress like Elmer Fudd. So what is it that you need to change to live to that brand promise? And I talk about a brand being really two things. You know, I'm from South Dakota, where we've got a bunch of cowboys, and, you know, a brand is something we always put on a cow and occasionally a horse. That's one of the definitions of the word brand. And that's where it's transferred now. It's the iconic representation of ownership on the side of a bovine, and it now really means around a company. And what is a brand? A brand is really a promise delivered. So what promises are we trying to deliver to our customer? And the way in which we're trying to, you know, to really live out that promise, and that's what we need to be doing. So focus in around what we look like, how we act, and then how do I get that out to not only just my customers, because they can reiterate what my brand is, but my people, because I can only be as good as my lowest common denominator. So it's my people are going to help me deliver that promise to my customer.
Item number seven, Jeffrey, be relentless in driving the change you want in your people and all parts of your business. Be the change you want to see in the world.
Well, absolutely. Envision it. What is it you want to look like? I mean, you know what, and I talk about this being your, like, your 118 or your elevator pitch. And I redefined it when I was at Kodak, I got 3,500 vendors who were coming and sell to me. And what I wanted to do is really get that down and get it down to a reasonable number of customers or vendors that I wanted to work with, or suppliers or partners, whatever word you want to use. And so I started having them come in. They would make these big, long pitches to me. And they would, you know, at the end of a 40-page PowerPoint presentation, at the end of an hour, I still didn't know what the heck they did. And so I needed to focus that down. So I started making them give it to me in 118 seconds, and they broke it down like this. 8 seconds is the average attention span of an adult. And I know that to be true because I looked that up on the Internet, you know. And then 110 seconds is the average elevator ride in New York City. From the time you press the button, wait for the doors to open, step on, ride up, and or ride down, and get off. That is the 118. It's that it's that hook, that 8-second hook that you would have, you know, that where you get that lean-in factor where people are leaning in and want to hear the rest of what you've got to say. And then 110 seconds is the close, those things that you close the business. What are the reasons why you're going to do business with me? And that's really what you want to be focused on, is that 118, that elevator pitch.
The eighth topic, I want you to get into this, Jeffrey. Be a cheerleader and a white buffalo. Stick your nose into everything. Cause tension at every term. Walk across the seams of the company. What are you teaching there?
Well, white buffaloes are a very sacred kind of animal, and that's those, you know, where I'm from in South Dakota, very sacred by the Sioux and Lakota people. And what I mean by that is that they stand out in the herd. And that's what we're looking for. I'm looking for, as a leader in a business, I'm looking for white buffalo. I'm looking for people that stand out in a crowd that are bucking the system a little bit. You know, those, not the nags and the stables, but the racehorses that are bucking to get out of the gate. I'm looking for people who span the silos. I'm looking for cheerleaders who reinforce the goal, not blindly drink the Kool-Aid of what I'm offering, because I want them to, again, cause that tension, have healthy debate about where we're going. But I want somebody that once we make that decision, they're reinforcing the goals that we've got. And by being a cheerleader for that, and I, again, I said span the silos, who don't say, hey, that's not my job. You know, I'm here with a company. If I see paper on the ground, I pick it up. You know, or trash on the ground, I pick it up. If I see that something that needs to be adjusted, I adjust it because I care about the business. And that's what you're looking for. Those people that really, you know, that bring me, another one is who bring me solutions, not problems. I mean, Pat, how many times in business are you've seen people, I'm certainly in you know, as you supervise people in with your show, where people come and tell you problems all day long. Who cares about that? I know what the problems are. I want solutions. And that's why these people, these change agents that I call them, are a rare breed.
And now the ninth topic, please, please, please fire the right people. Whew, well, that's a little harsh, isn't it?
Well, it could be, but, you know, look, right now I can tell you in every business there's people that just don't fit in or are part of it, and you can only be as good as your slowest common denominator. And so why would you want to only be as good as the lowest rungs on your ladder? And so and if it's not right for you, it's not right for them, so get them out of the business and find the thing that's their passion, their thing, where they want to go. And, in fact, most of the people that I've actually fired, and I won't say all of them, because in some businesses I've laid off many, many people or had to make changes, and that's not a nice thing to do. I mean, nobody likes to do that. But where I've had managers or people that work directly for me and I've had to say, hey, it's just not working out for you, my friend, most of those people have become and stayed very good friends of mine, even though I had to fire them because they were in the wrong fit and it just wasn't working out. They knew that. And so for a business, you know, get in there and find your slowest common denominators. Find those people that are holding back the rest of the team or holding back your service or holding back your sales, and keep upgrading that team as you go. That's what you need to be doing as a business. And that doesn't say anything bad about those people. It's just they're not right for the right position. And maybe they're great on somebody else's team. Let's go help them find their passion as you deliver yours.
Is that really what the 10th principle is? Great people, like great horses, don't want to get in the trailer, even if they know they're leaving a bad place. Make them want to go.
Well, that's the key thing, isn't it? You know, how can you provide a vision in your business that makes people want to go, and then eliminate all the things that they've been holding on to? Because that's what you have to do. I mean, you know, and I use the analogy, and it's a lot longer story than what we've got to share here in the book, but about one of my horses that I want to take out and, you know, go ride on my place and check the fences. And there's no way a horse wants to go in a small, confined area. Well, it's like most people don't like change. They do like the way it used to be all the time. That's why change agents are so rare. But what we have to do is lead them there, and it's kind of like the Vikings going to the New World. But as an owner, you know, as a leader in the business, you better burn the boats so they can't go back, because you want to provide the incentive for these people to move forward. And that's what we have to do. We have to show them and get them to drink that Kool-Aid, get on the wagon, drink the champagne, call it whatever you want. You know, that's what you have to do for your business.
11th topic, accept and encourage mistakes. Mistakes help you assess your team and determine if you need to recruit people or skilled technicians.
Well, that's a big mistake for a lot of entrepreneurs. They start as a one-man band, add develop followers, and then the third stage, they really have to get to people who are helping them build with skilled technicians. But yeah, in making mistakes, you're going to find out where those things are that you need to improve. And a lot of owners don't want to hear those mistakes. They want people hiding them, or a lot of, you know, managers do, especially in bigger corporations. They want everything to look like it's always working well. And that's just not the case. I want to know where those problems are. I want to spend my time on the red flags in the business, because those are the things that are impeding my great growth or my great breakthroughs as a business. And so that's what you want to do as an owner or a leader in the business.
Jeffrey, 30 seconds before the break. Got people in the right positions? Great. Now ensure respect for each position and then get the heck out of the way so that you can lead.
Let them do their jobs. I mean, I know that you know, as an owner or a leader in the business, you know how to run that thing. You know how to do every job. You should know how to do every job or every position or where it needs to go, but that doesn't mean you need to do it. Let the people make mistakes. Let the people get the rewards. Let the other folks make it happen for you, and then stand back and clap them and cheer them on. That's what you should be doing.
Jeffrey Hazlett, our guest. We've got more with Jeffrey. Running the Gauntlet, fascinating book. I'm Pat Williams. It's News Talk WDBO.